All right, good morning to all of you again. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus and take you again to a few things related to the country of Poland, where we lived for 10 years. Just a few details here to broaden your understanding of that country. Religion. Religion is a required class in the public schools in Poland. And that religion class is either taught by a nun or a priest who comes from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church permeates the entire society of Poland. School holidays are often religious holidays. And a religious holiday is celebrated all over the country in exactly the same way. And I'm not exaggerating. It is exactly the same way. If you're in northeastern Poland, it's celebrated the same in southwestern Poland. Religion is very much a part of that country. During the communist years of Poland, religious freedom wasn't really suppressed that much. If a Baptist preacher, for example, wanted to go to another place to preach in another Baptist church, there weren't a lot of those churches there, but there were some. This preacher could do that without fear of the government catching him and punishing him. In Poland, Christmas covers 3 days. There's a special Christmas supper called Vigilia on Christmas Eve. The second day of Christmas is what we consider Christmas Day, and the third day of Christmas is the day after that. 3 days of celebration for that holiday. In Poland, if you would visit the country, the further east you go, the poorer society becomes. Now, that may have changed some in the last 10 years. I'm not sure, but that's how it was when we lived there. Farms in the east are more the small farm plots that are often farmed by hand or by horsepower. And 10 years ago, it wasn't uncommon to see horses working in the field, pulling implements with horses. The western part of Poland is much richer, with larger farms and more equipment to farm with. So a few more details about the country of Poland. If you have a chance to visit it sometime, you should. The title of our talk today is Culture: The Way to Understand and Respect. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Culture. How do you deal with culture? I struggled a little bit this morning to know how to fit this into the context of school and teaching school and our Christian day schools here in Poland. I mean, in the States. But I think I'm just going to spend the majority of the time considering the idea of culture and not so much focus on your school culture, because I don't know exactly what your school culture might be. But how do you relate to culture? And how do you relate to the U.S. culture? How do you relate to the community culture you're a part of? How do you relate to your Anabaptist culture that you are also a part of? Culture is a very real thing. To illustrate that, I'm going to tell you a story. This took place in December of 2001. Myself and the other married fellow that was there in Poland with his family, we had to get jobs, and so we had to get jobs to get a work visa to be able to stay in the country for any length of time. So we ended up in a public school teaching English to 30, well, I don't remember how many it was, but to the students there, teaching conversational English. So we were, you know, trying to figure out how to do this, and we came up on December of 2001, and we began to see culture taking place in Poland. And one particular day, the school we were teaching at, somehow it became known to us that there was going to be a special event connected to Christmas. Of course, we didn't know how the Polish people celebrated Christmas. I told you it was 3 days. At that point, we didn't know that. So I remember very clearly, this other man's name is Laverne. I remember very clearly he and I, we taught at the same school, and we realized we needed to go to somewhere there in the school property, and there was something going on, and we found our way to this building, and we went upstairs and walked into a big room that was set up for a meal of some kind. Of course, we didn't know what that meal was. We didn't really know what we were getting into. We were kind of hesitant. We stood there off to the side, not sure what to do, and there were some other teachers. This was a big high school, and so there were some other teachers there, and we watched, and all of a sudden, several of the lady teachers that taught at that school noticed us. And we were kind of a novelty because we were Americans and we were teaching English in this high school. They'd never had that happen before. And these, I think it was two of them, they were across the room. And they saw us and they smiled and headed our direction. And we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know what was happening. And suddenly Laverne, he's right there beside me, says, "Oh," he says, "I need to go get my camera." And he takes some pictures. So, whew, out the door he went. And here I am standing there. And I didn't know what was coming. And these ladies came over, two of them, if I remember correctly, and they were smiling and all happy. And they reached out and they shook my hand. And next thing I know, they leaned forward and I was like, "What in the world?" I mean, I didn't know what to do. I leaned forward too, but I didn't know what was going on. And the one got done, and next thing, the next one grabs my hand, and she did it again. My wife wasn't there, thankfully. Okay. So we sat down and had our meal, and that was an experience in itself. But you know what? It's culture there. When Christmas comes around, doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, when you shake hands, you say these special little words in Polish, and then, yes, it's not real. It's just a cheek-to-cheek kiss, if you know what that is. But it's too close to the real thing, especially when it's ladies zeroing in on you. That wasn't really what I was there for. But it was culture. But it was shocking. We didn't know what to do with it. I remember also, you know, we started, I believe it was in 2000, I don't remember anymore, was it 2003 or 2004, organizing a group of young people to come to Poland and sing. We would go and visit churches in Poland and sing for them, called the Hope Singers. And I remember them coming. And I remember, you know, we would sometimes take often every year that this happened every other year, I think it was, and we would take them to Warsaw, which was an hour or so away from us, and we'd take them on the train. So you have these 15, 20, 25 American youth who climb on the train and they find a car and they spread out in the car and they're, you know, they're just relaxed and having a good time and talking and it's loud. And you know, if these young people walked into a car where there were Polish folks and started their loud talking and having a good time, those Polish people would get up and walk to another car. You say, "Well, why would they do that?" Well, you know, it's culture there. When you get on a train, you sit down, you don't put your feet on the seat in front of you, you don't talk. You make sure the windows are shut, because if they're open, you might get sick. You know, all of this is culture. There's nothing, they don't talk on the train much, and if they do, it's very subdued. But you know how American youth are. When you're on the train, it's time for a party, and it's time to have a good time, and it's time to be loud, and your feet go up on the seat in front of you. You know, you relax. Culture. When I watched that taking place in that train car, it was a picture of Polish culture colliding full force with American culture. What should our response be in that situation? I mean, I have seen conductors come along. I think it maybe happened to me or to my children. I don't remember for sure. But they'll come along if your feet are on the, you know, it's two seats facing each other on the train. And if your feet are up on the seat in front of you, they'll tap you and tell you to put your feet down. You don't put your feet on a seat where other people are going to be seated. That's culture. How do you relate to culture? I know you don't relate to Polish culture, but you do relate to culture in your classrooms, in your communities. You do relate to the reality that you're part of a culture. The Bible says it like this, the verse that I read it already this morning, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't be like the world around you. Don't be like the culture of the world. But it also says, that was in Romans 12, it also says in 1 Corinthians 9, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Paul says he became like these people. Of course, that could be a discussion as to what that means. But it says he became like them. Why? So he could win them. How do you bring together the idea of separation, clear separation, with the idea of being like them so you can win them? How can we observe both of these instructions without losing or compromising one or the other? And you might think I stand here with the answers because I lived in a foreign culture for 10 years, but the fact of the matter is I don't have the answers to this question. For 10 years, we wrestled hard with the question of culture, Mennonite culture, Polish culture, evangelical culture, Catholic culture. And how could we, how should we bring them together? Are these cultures always meant to be mutually exclusive? Should it be our goal to merge them and come out with a workable mixture? You know, in Poland, we didn't want to be too American. We didn't want to be too Mennonite. It might be offensive, or it might not have sufficient basis. And just let you in on a little secret, tradition is not considered to be sufficient basis. That is also a subject for discussion, I suppose. We didn't want to be overbearing and demand things of people who didn't understand or who didn't have our Mennonite heritage or background. Rather, it seemed good to be accepting, to look for some fellowship and encouragement from other evangelicals in Poland. When I see evangelicals, I'm talking about the Baptists, and that was probably the primary church that we would have had interaction with at some level. We struggled to know how to live according to the Anabaptist principles, biblical principles that we believed in, and to be separate and distinctive, and at the same time to be accepting and not arrogant. And in some reality, you're going to wrestle with some of these same things if you're teaching in another community that's not your own. You may find yourselves in a culture that's not like the one you're used to. That community's culture is a little different than your culture, or maybe it's way different. This morning, I'd like to share some things about culture that I think we learned during our time in Poland that I believe may very well address and connect to the reality of the culture that you're a part of, wherever you're teaching. Some of you maybe are teaching in your home community, and so you may not know how to bring this all together, but there will be a part for you here as well, because I'm also going to consider how you relate to your Anabaptist culture. And I have no idea where you all are at on that question, but that's a real question in our churches today. Not just among the youth, but among married and among older people. Is that culture something to cherish? Is it something to discard? Is it something to be ashamed of? Is it something to be proud of? Well, what do you do with it? Let's consider culture for a few minutes. I have some questions here that I'm going to use as a basis for my approach. The first question is, how should you and I approach a culture different than ours? How should we approach a culture that is different from ours? I'm going to tell you a few things that we observed in Poland. There'll be maybe a little more information here concerning that country and its culture than what you've heard in the previous talks. First of all, culture is to be respected. It's to be respected. This is not the same as saying culture should be accepted, but it is to be respected. You know, in Poland, it was culture. When you went to somebody's house or their apartment, you knocked on the door, they let you in, and immediately you are expected to take your shoes off. Which for me, that was never much fun. I don't like to take my shoes off. But I did it because it was their culture and I wanted to respect them. It is to be respected. This is not even entering into the question of whether it is right, but it's to be respected. Culture should be learned. You should learn the culture. Whether it's a school culture or a community culture or whatever it is, you should learn that culture. But this is not the same as saying culture should be practiced. But you should learn about it. In Poland, when you're driving down a two-lane highway, they make the shoulders wide. The cultural practice is, if you're going along and you're going a little slower than somebody coming up behind you, you're expected to pull over onto that shoulder. You don't slow down. You still go 60 miles an hour. And this person comes up behind you, moves over into the center, and he goes down the middle of the road. You're going down the road on the shoulder. And he passes you. It doesn't matter if there's another car coming. You know, he's as close as that wall back there. It doesn't matter. You know, when you're driving, you're looking ahead. You're looking in your mirrors. You got to know what's going on. You move over. He pulls out. And as long as he pulls out before that car pulls out to pass somebody, he has the right of way. So he pulls out, cruises down the middle of the road. That car coming moves over on the shoulder. And the two-lane becomes a three-lane. It's culture. It's something you need to learn. Because if you don't move over, horns start to toot, and they don't know why you don't get out of their way. And if you happen to be the one coming, and you see suddenly two cars coming in one lane, and partially in yours, you had better move over, or there's trouble coming your direction. Culture should be learned. And sometimes it needs to be practiced, but it's not saying it when you learn it that you have to practice it, but you should learn it. Culture should be studied. This is not the same as saying it should be adopted. In Poland, the cultural practice was to go to the graveyards the day before Halloween. It's called All Saints Day. And they would put hundreds of flowers in the graveyards. It was their practice. You would see people carrying mums or some other flower, and they're taking it to the grave. And you could walk those graveyards on the evening of All Saints Day, and there were flowers everywhere, candles burning everywhere. And it's very interesting to understand the reality behind that practice, which I'm not going to go into that. Culture should be studied, but it doesn't say that because you study it, you need to adopt it. Culture should be understood. This is not the same as saying it should be welcomed in to your life. The first place we lived there in Poland was a three-story house. As I told you the other day, the landlord lived right next door. They had a son who knew English, and he was our go-between. He got married while we still lived in that house, before we moved to another location. And he invited us to his wedding, which was an honor. But I don't know, you probably don't know anything about Polish weddings. They start, I don't remember anymore if I got the times right here, but they'll start early afternoon, and they'll go all day, and they'll go all night, till early morning the next day. And people then will go home. And during that all-night celebration, they serve food and alcohol, they dance, they play loud music. What should we do with the invitation to go to Andrew's wedding? That was the name of the young man getting married. Should we go? We understood it to be a very ungodly, even though he was, you know, part of the Catholic Church, a very ungodly and a lot of unacceptable things that were going to go on at that place. But it was an honor to be invited. We were not Catholic. And he wanted us to come. So we went. Very much a very interesting experience trying to understand how they live and what they do. And we sat there and we took part of the meal, and we didn't dance, I'll assure you of that. But we took part of the meal and we listened to the music and we watched them dance, and this went on. You'd eat and then the music would start and you'd dance, and after that was done, you'd eat again and then the music would start and you'd dance. This goes on all night long. I think you eat about 5 or 6 meals. And it was so loud in that place that if you were sitting at a table like what you sit in back there, sit there at the gym, you literally could not hear each other. You couldn't talk to each other across the table. You could shout and you could not hear each other. That's how loud the music was. It was just an amazing experience. But why did we go? It's because we wanted to understand them. We wanted to understand that part. Would I go to another one? Probably not, because I kind of got my fill. But it was interesting. But am I going to let my daughter have a wedding like that? Absolutely not. There isn't a chance. Culture should be understood. Culture should be measured against the scriptures. This is the same as accepting some elements without question, even adopting and practicing them. The Polish people had a very strong sense of family responsibility. They don't have nursing homes in Poland for old people to go to, or they don't have very many of them. I think we knew of found one, maybe, in the 10 years we were there. It's not the way they take care of their parents when they get old. They don't put them in a nursing home. And I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong. I'm just saying that's not the way they do it. When mom and dad get old and need care, they move in with their children, one of their children, and their children take care of them. It is the way it's done. It's their culture. And when you consider that and all of these other things that I mentioned, you know, scripture becomes the way that you determine whether a cultural practice is acceptable or not. You begin to realize that, yeah, that's something maybe we as God's people should consider a bit more strongly, because it has value in terms of how it measures up against what the Bible teaches us. How should we approach a culture different than our own? We respect it, we learn from it, we study it, we understand it, we measure it against the scriptures. Okay, let's take a few minutes. I want you to consider your own culture this morning. What place should the culture of Mennonites or Anabaptism have in your life? What place should it carry? What place should it hold? You know, we have all kinds of reactions to this question. Everywhere from saying, I want nothing to do with it, it's just a bunch of inconsistent sham. It's not anything admirable. It puts me in all kinds of embarrassing situations. To, it's a treasure. It's something I like. It's something I want to keep. It's something I want to pass on to my children. And everything in between. I told you about Jacek the other. Was it yesterday? I don't remember. But I remember sitting with him on the couch in our living room, telling him about my heritage, about my family, about my grandparents, and all of them, and how this faith that I adhere to and believe in, how it's come down to me from generation to generation. And I think I told you, I remember Jacek looking at me and telling me, John, I don't have that. And he didn't, as I told you the other day. His father had mental issues, and his father and mother had problems. I'm not sure if they were even together when I learned to know him. I don't remember. Have you taken the time to consider your culture and what you have and of what value it is? Your culture, your Anabaptist culture, your Mennonite culture provides a framework and an anchor point that you are a fool to discard. Whether it's the boys or the girls. Without that anchor, without that frame. Oh, you say my anchor should be in the scripture. Absolutely, it should be in the scripture. But there's nothing wrong with having a heritage that also anchors you and keeps you where God wants you or helps to keep you there. Your culture provides a framework within which to live and an anchor point within which to be attached to. It also provides a history book full of lessons. When was the last time you studied Anabaptist history? No, I'm not. You're going to maybe think I'm trying to hold up Anabaptism and Anabaptists as being, you know, the cream of the crop. That's not what I'm trying to get at this morning. But rather, encourage you to realize what you have and to cherish it. And must I say here, you as teachers stand in front of your students and they know whether you cherish your Anabaptist faith or not. They know whether you're holding it in your hands and scorning it even a little bit. Why would a student come to me and say, I want to talk about what's in the green book? The green book happened to be the book that was the church standards. I want to talk about them. And he said it in such a way that didn't tell me he wanted to have a upbuilding conversation about it. He wanted to talk about it. Well, we didn't. But why would he say that? I don't know exactly why he said that. But how do you view your heritage? Your heritage provides a hope as you realize what people have done before you so that you have what you have today and it can inspire you to continue on so that you have something to give to the generation coming after you. What place should the culture of Anabaptism have in our lives? Consider our heritage and treasure it. How about our traditions? Ooh, that's not a nice word, is it? The country of Poland is steeped in traditions, and I mentioned a few of them already. Many of them are connected to the Catholic Church. They have their Christmas dinner called Vigilia. It has 12 dishes. Always has 12 dishes. They're always the same 12. And when they sit down to eat it, the night before Christmas, they always have an empty chair at the table for what they call the unseen guest. It doesn't matter where you go, that's what you will find. Around Easter time, you'll see them headed to church carrying a little basket. You'll see a 200-pound man carrying a little basket about this big. Off to church he goes. Really a strange sight. But you see it all over the place. Everybody is headed to the church with a basket. It's got a doily over it. You can't see what's inside, but it has the same thing inside. Every basket has the same thing. Tradition. They pray at the graves of the deceased. Why would they do that? So that they can shorten the time that this dead person is going to spend in purgatory. You know, when somebody has an achievement, when somebody achieves what they're trying to achieve, whatever they're pursuing, maybe it's something in school, maybe it's something else, wine is used to celebrate that. We discovered that teaching in the high school, part of the tradition or the culture, was that for you to pass, for you to move on, for you to get a good grade on a particular test, you cheated. They cheated all the time. It was a game between the teachers and the students to whether the students could cheat and not get caught. And us poor Americans coming in there, man, we had no idea what was going on. It took us a little while to figure it out. But we saw it happen over and over again. Traditions. Steeped in traditions. What do we do with our traditions? Well, I hope this morning that you're able to value them. The traditions that you have, they need to be valued and not made light of. Again, I want you to consider how you view these things in light of the fact that you have young children, you know, from first grade to 12th grade potentially, whatever, somewhere in that age bracket, who are watching you. And I suppose if I would go to one of them and ask them, how does your teacher value the Anabaptist traditions that they have in their community, they could tell me, and they could tell me well. And that's not a threat, that's a reality. It's like if you go to my children, you could ask them the same question, and they could tell you exactly how I view those things. There's one of them walking around here. Ask him. I hope he doesn't disappoint me. I don't think he will, but the reality is those children know. They pick it up somehow. Our traditions need to be valued and not made light of. They need to be evaluated. Oh, absolutely. They need to be evaluated and not accepted without thought. That's sometimes the thing that traditions run up against, is because they tend to be passed on from one generation to the next, and the next doesn't really consider what the former did, and they just accept them and they run with them. That's not the way we should do with traditions. They should actually be looked at and evaluated and considered, and you try to understand, as I talked about earlier with culture, you try to understand what has caused that tradition to become part of life. These traditions, they need to be passed on and not dropped with little consideration. They need to be an aid to the end, to an end, not the end in itself. Whatever traditions you want to establish in your classroom should be carefully thought out. There should be a reason behind it. And yes, they should be good enough that the next teacher coming in says, yeah, I'd like to keep going with that. I'd like to do that. I see the reasoning behind it. It has value. I want to have it in my classroom. But don't make the tradition you might establish in the classroom or the tradition in your community be the end. But let it be something that helps you to a greater end. What place should the culture of Anabaptism have in our lives? We have our heritage and what that is all about. We have our traditions. We have our family emphasis. The country of Poland also emphasized certain good family elements. They did. I talked to you about how they take care of their parents as they get older. But at the same time, it was so ironic. We would hear over and over and over again, we need teaching on the family. We're like, really? You have mom and dad, you have children, why do you need teaching on the Christian family? Well, part of it is because, as I indicated, was it the first talk I gave? I don't remember anymore. That the society there in Poland is a matriarchal society. The mothers, the ladies are in charge of the homes. Typically. And that is, you know, people have considered that and wondered how that developed. And there's some thought that maybe that came to be because years ago during the wars that Poland was involved in, or when people came in and tried to overrun the country and they were fighting back, it was the men that left to fight. And it was the men that died, and it was the moms that stayed at home, and the men never came back. And so the moms had to lead out and become the anchor and the disciplinarian and all of the things that are needed in the family to make the family continue. I don't know if that's the reality or not, but that is something that has been suggested as the reason why this is what we see in their society today. They don't believe in discipline of children. It was so painful to watch a young couple with little children in a restaurant and watch that child do anything they wanted, and they just sit there and do nothing. Of course, I tend to be a disciplinarian in our family, and I just sit there and say, what? Why don't you do something? Do something. This little boy, this little girl shouldn't be acting like that, and they just sit there and do nothing. It's like they didn't know what to do. Well, culture. Part of our culture is family is important. There should be a mom, there should be a dad, there should be discipline, there should be order, there should be a safe place. And we need to consider our culture and treasure that. You know, I don't know what homes are represented here. Maybe there's some homes that aren't the way they should be. I don't know. And I'm sorry for that. But as you again stand before your students in your classroom, present to them that the family is of huge value. It's very important. It's a very much a part of our culture, and you realize that, and you want them to realize that. You want them to treasure it. How about our belief on brotherhood or the church? We're talking about culture. The country of Poland knows little about the idea of church brotherhood and accountability. Seriously, they don't know anything about that. To these people, church is a religion marked by well-defined rituals and awesome constructions of worship centers. Churches, I'm talking about. Well, you might say, well, you know, my church has a lot of well-defined rituals as well. Well, it's probably a carryover, maybe an influence of the Catholic connection that the Anabaptists had years ago. I don't know. But in Poland, everything is well-defined in the church. The process to be approved by God is laid out. It's taught to those young people, it's taught to their people with intensity and determination. That's why you have priests and nuns coming into the public schools and teaching those children religion. Because they want to make sure they understand it. When we try to describe to our Polish friends what church is all about, we didn't quite know how to do it. They couldn't understand us. They didn't have a reference point. They couldn't relate to what for us was ordinary and normal. You know, after church, when you go to your home church and you have a church service and then it's dismissed and you stand up, what do? Turn around and head for the exits? No, you turn around and talk to the person behind you or beside you. Because that's our culture. In Poland, it's not that way. As soon as the amen is said, they don't talk to each other. They're out the door. And so we had Polish people coming to our services, and we got done, and we turned around, and we start visiting after church, and they're like, well, what do we do? And they see the exit, and out they go. Because that's their culture. What should we do? What should we have done? What should we do in that situation? And we struggled. We weren't sure how to teach these dear people that God had brought into our lives what church means according to the New Testament scriptures. And we finally came to the conclusion that we would just attempt to demonstrate to them what our understanding of church and brotherhood and accountability was. And if we consistently demonstrated that to them, they would begin to understand. And I think there has been some success in that area, as I would understand it. What do you and I understand? What do we believe and cherish about the idea of brotherhood? It's a place of safety. It's a place for sharing and input. It's a place where truth can be better understood and applied. It's meant to be a place where questions can be asked freely. It's meant to be a place where discipline can be exercised, sorrows can be shared, hearts can be encouraged, and faith can be strengthened. I'm talking about our culture today, and I wonder how you relate to it. What should be our conclusions concerning our Anabaptist Mennonite culture? Or if you're not Mennonite, maybe, you know, put the name of your church in there. It's probably Anabaptist. What should be our conclusions related to that heritage, that culture that we all are a part of? We have two options. You can say it's stupid. Or you can say there's a reason for it. And I want to know what that is. You can say this is not consistent. Or you can say this is an attempt to establish a safe way to walk. You can say, I don't think this is important. Or you can say, this is a valuable gift that I have received. You can say, we're talking about culture. There is no basis for this. Maybe there's no biblical basis for this. Or you can say, it is an attempt to apply a biblical principle. You can say in relation to your culture, there's just too many rules. Or you can say rules are necessary fences to keep me from falling. You can say it like this in relation to your culture. The conservatives are closed-minded. The liberals are open-minded. You can say our culture is too restrictive. Or you can say, relax the culture to get more people in. You can say it is stuck in a rut. Or you can say the structure offers needed stability. There's a lot of places you can go as you wrestle with the question of culture. And this can fit whether it's the Anabaptist culture, whether it's the community culture, the school culture. You can consider any of those and take this and take these things that I just shared with you and apply them. You can choose between. It's stupid. There's a reason for it. It's not consistent. It's a way to be a safe. It's an attempt to make it the way safe, and on we go. Whatever culture you are considering. The title this morning says, Culture, the way to understand and respect. As God's people, I believe those two words should frame our approach to the culture of our community, our school, our nation, our heritage, whatever culture you're considering, that of understanding and respecting. Do your neighbors, do the people in your nearby town, do the students in your school see you understanding and respecting the cultural things that are a part of the community where you live or the church that you are a part of? This morning, if you desire to draw them, your students, to God, if you desire to have an open door through which to walk and talk to them about God and spiritual things, I believe with all my heart that it starts with understanding and respect. Understanding and respect for their culture, and understanding and respect for yours. There is a temptation to take what we could call an extreme approach, and to walk away from our culture, and to feel justified in doing so because of the apparent inconsistencies that exist. This morning I want to urge you, I want to beg of you, don't leave your Anabaptist biblical culture behind just because somebody hasn't done it right. If you knew me, you probably wouldn't be an Anabaptist Mennonite either, because I don't do it right. You're not going to find anybody that does it right. You say, I don't like my church, I don't like what's going on, I'm going to go to another community. Well, I just would urge you to stop and consider what you are doing. Because we tend to take the extreme approach, and we feel justified in it. But when we do that, the reality is that this will get us nowhere good. And in my opinion, is clearly the wrong approach. Cultural loyalties, it is true, they can dominate and they can be excessive. But disregard and disrespect for culture and what it stands for can also dominate and can also be excessive. As God's people, you and I need to cry out to God for wisdom, number one, to be able to submit to the cultural practices in our lives that do not violate biblical principles and that are there for the purpose of guidance and protection. We need to submit to them. Number two, we need to know how to support our cultures wholeheartedly, but to at the same time be able to ask good questions that cause you and your students to better understand, respect, and embrace what we have. And number three, we need to cry out to God for wisdom to understand the huge responsibility that each of us holds in our hands as the givers of culture to the next generation. This morning is not only about how you will embrace and receive the spiritual culture that you find yourself a part of. It's also about how you will release it and give it to the next generation. You are a valuable link in the cultural chain. And as a teacher, consider this morning how you are receiving that culture from those who have gone before you and how you are releasing it to your students. Because you may want to argue with me about that you're not receiving and releasing, but that is not true, that you're not doing that. You are doing that. You're doing it subconsciously, even if it's not intentionally. And I encourage you to consider it to where it's an intentional receiving and releasing. Your children are dependent. The children in your classroom, the parents of the children in your classroom are depending on you in this area. In conclusion, just a few words of encouragement. concerning relating to the culture in your community and in your church and in your school. Focus on serving, not on challenging. Focus on respecting, not mocking. Focus on appreciating, not abolishing. Focus on developing, not destroying. Serving, not challenging. Respecting, not mocking. Appreciating, not abolishing. And developing, not destroying. This morning, we all want to be earth movers. We want to be people who really shake up the place. We sometimes think we can come into a community as the new kid on the block, as it were. We often can think we see the situation in this new community so much better than those who have been entrenched in it for a long time. But you know what? You may have a different perspective. And you should be a person who influences and makes a difference. But this vision, this desire, does not give you and I the privilege to mock, to challenge, to abolish, or to destroy. Am I saying that you can never challenge or abolish or change something? I'm not trying to say that. Tomorrow we're going to consider this subject of change. Sometimes it needs to be done. I believe it can be done with respect and carefulness. But as you live, never, never lose sight of the fact that you are a part of a culture that you must first respect and appreciate. Without that, you will never be heard. You will never be given the opportunity to influence changes in a positive direction in that culture or in a particular subculture. My prayer for you this morning is that God would give you the wisdom as individuals to know when to step forward and to initiate positive changes, and when to step back and say, I will accept it. I will live with it as it is, even though I wish it were different. In serving, you will have your greatest impact on the culture of the community and church within which you live and work. I do apologize for not using a lot of scripture this morning. I didn't very much, and I feel badly about that. But I do want to close with some verses from Matthew chapter 20. And this is just Jesus' call to us, saying, be a servant as I was. Matthew chapter 20. Starting at verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with their sons, worshiping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. Then he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him, and he said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. May God bless you as you serve. And may you hold on, may you treasure the culture you have been given, and encourage that culture to be passed on to the children in your classroom, to the point where they will treasure it and want to pass it on to their children, if God allows the world to remain to that time. Thank you again, and God bless you.